Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Many people got duped by Wall Street's pit BS. I know, because even a small number of my own clients did, because they are now former clients. I guess they were worried about losing a minuscule amount of money in a brutal bear market for a very short period of time, but missing the bigger picture. This is the bigger picture. I'm going to give it to you today and talk about how bad this market is going to become. Last week's bear market bounce was predicated on good seasonality. This is a great time of year for the market. Santa Claus rally. I also heard, we have the hopes for the typical midterm election boost. And of course, there were the rumors of the big, well-advertised Fed pivot. Now, Wall Street always finds a narrative for rallies in a bear market, but the economic and liquidity cycle remain unchanged. The Fed is hiking rates into a recession. I said they were going to do this in July of 2021, and it's exactly what's playing out. Powell may have done his last 75 basis point rate hike today, but another 50 basis point rate hike is likely coming in December, and the regular 25 basis point variety is coming in February. Meanwhile, $95 billion per month of quantitative tightening just started in September, and we're only in the start of November, and it's rapidly destroying the money supply. That is what Wall Street wants you to believe is a pivot. The Fed may indeed, I believe this profoundly, the Fed is going to downshift to a lower pace of rate hikes come December, but it will also maintain a very restrictive Fed funds rate, as high as 5% for multiple months. Powell made that point crystal clear at today's Federal Open Market Committee meeting. The Fed's fund rate will be higher than the Fed thought it would be in September. So they thought it was 4.5. Now 5 is the base case. And he also said it in, quote, "It is extremely premature to think about a pause at 3.75% on the Fed funds rate." Now, does this clear a way for the new bull market? Not at all. Stocks don't bottom at 150% total market cap to GDP. During the 2000 recession, the NASDAQ bottomed at 71% total market cap to GDP, down from 142% at the high. The Great Recession saw stocks bottom at 45% total market cap to GDP, down from 105%. And even during the pandemic recession, total market cap to GDP fell from 152%, which is basically about where we are today, down to 120%. But here's the point. All those bottoms I just talked about were associated with a genuine Fed pivot, a Fed that was rapidly cutting interest rates to 0% or at least 1% or below. And in the case of the 2008 and 2020 recessions, the Fed was engaged not only in zero interest rate policies, but the massive money printing scheme known as quantitative easing. Markets don't bottom from recessions when the Fed reduces the pace of rate hikes to 50 basis points from 75 basis points. That's not a pivot. That's what Wall Street wants you to believe is a pivot. But tightening by 50 basis points into a recession is very, very bad for your retirement plans. Every recession in the past has been dealt with monetary and fiscal measures. However, inflation and the bond bubble is preventing that from happening this time around. You know, the United Kingdom tried fiscal stimulus. They said, okay, let's try to stimulate our faltering economy. Let's try to, pass some kind of fiscal stimulus packages. to get the economy moving. And bond yields skyrocketed because you can't stimulate the economy when you have an inflation problem. And when the central banks aren't buying all of your bonds. You can't have it both ways. You have to deal with your inflation problem. And I now want to disabuse investors of the notion that stock markets always bounce right back, even during pivots, even during genuine pivots. It's hard. Central banks will blink. I agree they will blink. But please remember the Chinese Shanghai market is still down 50% from 2007. And Japan's market is down, the Nikkei Dow, is down 30% from its top reach 33 years ago. So, since the recession is obviously nigh, and I'll go over some points to prove that in a second, let's look at some data to help determine the fair value. What is the fair value for the S&P 500? Is it at 36 or 3700? I don't think so. Now, the average duration, let's look at history and see if we can figure this out together. The average duration of the last 10 U.S. recessions since 1957 was 10 months. We haven't even started one yet, officially. The National Bureau of Economic Research declares recessions in arrears a few months after they start. Hence, if they eventually declare that a recession began, you know, sometime around now, you know, towards the end of 2022, we still have most of all of 2023 where you'll see GDP and earnings per share decline. The average decline in earnings per share during recessions was 30%. Now, I don't want to use 30% decline in earnings because I'm going to exclude the big recessions of 2000 and 2008. If you exclude those big recessions, and I'll see that theory that this is not going to be a big recession, just for the sake of argument. Let's just say we don't have those grandiose meltdowns in the economy or in the markets. We have a regular run-of-the-mill recession. Earnings drop by 19%. The average P/E ratio of the S&P 500 during recessions is 10.2. And that's according to Jeremy Robson of Seeking Alpha. Excluding, I'm going to even do this, excluding the P/E ratio collapse during the Great Recession of 2007-2009 because earnings per share went negative. So therefore, the math goes like this. According to FactSet, 2022 earnings per share will be $221.65. If you take a minus 19% off of that very pedestrian recession, that number, you get $179.54 for 2023, next year's earnings. If you want to slap a 10.2 times multiple, you get the S&P 500 at 1,831. That's where we could be going in a regular run-of-the-mill recession. Sorry, I'm just giving you the historical facts, whether you want to hear it or not. I'm here for the truth. Even if the multiple is too low, say, Michael, why are you going to use 10.2? Let's do 15. Let's just say because there's so much money sloshing around still, even though Powell's mopping it up at light speed, let's just use 15 times earnings. That number comes to 2,700. 2,700, that's 1,000 points lower from here. Let's look at some of the latest economic data to affirm my recession call, because the economy is getting weaker by the day. After two consecutive quarters of declining GDP growth, GDP for Q3 increased at a 2.6 seasonally adjusted annualized rate. So isn't that an increase, Mr. Pento? Didn't you just tell me that the economy is getting worse? Well, that 2.6 growth sounds promising, right? But not when you actually look at the numbers behind that 2.6. First of all, I have to laugh at this, a little comic relief. The headline from CNBC, which was very helpful, by the way, because the market crashed after this, but Dow jumps 300 points on better than expected GDP. You know, CNBC is very helpful if you want to make sure you retire in some alleyway. But the price index used to deflate nominal GDP was just 4.1%. So the Bureau of Economic Analysis claimed that inflation increased at a seasonally adjusted annualized rate of 4.1% for the third quarter. However, CPI, as reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, averaged 8.3 year over year during that time frame. So that's one thing. Let's use a real inflation number. If you believe inflation is only 4%, was only 4% for Q3, then you can believe 2.6. But wait, maybe you can't. Let's look at some more numbers. Net exports, which was a big plus to the GDP figure in Q3, was juiced in a big way because Joe Biden thought it was a really good idea to help himself get elected by dumping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to the highest bidding corporations, many of whom are foreign entities. Oh, so we improved the C plus G plus I plus or minus net export calculation of GDP by massively juicing exports by dumping our Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Oh, that's not wonderful. Now, so therefore, exports are booming as foreign nations suck up our emergency oil supply. Isn't that nice? This trick can't be repeated for long because we're running out of oil. And lastly, inventories have been stuffed to the rafters this quarter. But these inventories will be drained in Q4 and as such will be a subtraction to GDP. The upcoming recession is going to be brutal. It's not going to be a run-of-the-mill recession. Here's some facts for you. 37% of small companies in the U.S., which employ half of all U.S. workers, can no longer pay their rent. That's not my theory on what's happening. That's a Bloomberg business editorial and report. Amazon, which is the U.S. largest online retailer, missed on Q3 revenue and warned on fourth quarter sales, which were guided down to the slowest growth for the company on record. Let's continue. New mortgage applications down 41% year over year. Applications to buy a new home are down 41% year over year. How in God's good name can you possibly not have a contraction in the economy when home sales are down 41% year over year? The consumer is faltering, and the Fed has indicated it's going to hike rates another 150 basis points by February of 2023. In addition to the 300 basis points of hikes already in the bag since March of this year, before today. Mortgage rates are now the highest in 20 years, 7%, and rising quickly. The recession is going to be significant, and there's nothing the Fed can do to stop it. It's not a choice. Because a genuine Fed pivot, let's just say Powell says, and he even intimated about this in the press conference, well, you know, we could always just use the same playbook that we used post-pandemic to boost the economy. Powell, Jerome, try that when the long end of the bond market is so skittish about inflation, it could spike to double digits. Try that. Try going back into QE and ZERP now. That would cause inflation to run intractable, and long-term interest rates would skyrocket and render the government and the economy insolvent anyway. Therefore, after the initial reflexive surge, I have no doubt the stock prices would surge upon any such announcement of a genuine Powell pivot, and I'll try to ride that up if it happens, when and if it happens. Asset prices would soon crash anyway, because the Fed will be left with a much more difficult inflation situation to deal with than they even had now, than they even are fighting today. And I think this is the reason why there'll be no such genuine pivot anytime soon. Just the freezing of the Fed funds rate at a very high level relative to the past 14 years. And given the degree of asset bubbles and level of debt in the economy, a depression is possible. It's a possibility, not just a bad recession, depression. Pento portfolio strategies will continue to play defense in this illiquidity cycle that I called for. And we're not happy with just losing a very little bit of money. We don't want to lose a lot less. You know, the market's down 21, the S&P, NASDAQ's down 32, 33. We don't want to just lose a few percentage points. We're not happy with that. I think we can make one money. I firmly believe this. Once the Treasury turns bullish, bond and bond proxies turn bullish, that's going to be only after the recession becomes manifest, even to the monkeys that trade on Wall Street. And then we'll use the same IDEC model that saved us from this brutal decline, the same inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model. That same model will be used to determine when a true and investable bottom is achieved. But that will only be after this grand reconciliation of asset prices is complete.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.